Ian, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. I'm really happy to be here.
Hey, so we're talking about this whimsical outdoor sculpture that sprung up on the Brandywine Conservancy and Museum of Arts campus grounds for the summer. What's the name of it? And give me all the particulars. What's the exhibit about?
Yeah, so it's called the Queen Ansley's Pod. And it's actually out on the trails of the Brandywine Conservancy. It's really about how do we inhabit our environment in a more intentional way. So the actual sculpture itself is made of sticks that are found from the site, all screwed together, and it's huge. I mean, it's 8 feet around and about 16 feet tall. And you can actually go inside and inhabit it. It's got a bench in the inside. So it's really a space that can be inhabited by the person. It is built to look like the Queen Ansley's pod. So the Queen Ansley's flower is a really gorgeous flower that grows in this meadow. And when it starts to become a seed head, it actually closes in on itself. It becomes kind of like a ball. So what I did is I took that shape, flipped it upside down so that the stem is sticking up in the air, and you can actually go inside of the seed head there, and there's porthole windows, and it's got kind of lots of movement and whimsy. But the reason that I chose the Queen Ansley's flower is twofold. One is that they actually grow here in the meadow, and when I was walking the grounds, I saw them and was inspired by them. And the other is that one of the founders of the Brandywine River Museum of Art is named Frolic. And when I first came to the Brandywine, he was the person that I spoke to, and he was an older man. Really amazing human being. He founded it in the 70s with just kind of a dream, turning this old mill into this world-class museum. And that's what it is today, to house all the amazing artists that lived in the Brandywine, including the Wyatts. So he's a painter, and his most famous painting, and one that hung on my wall when I was a kid, was a print of this painting called August. Beautiful hillside covered in Queen Ansley's. Going up to the top of this hill, there's a like stick rising up into the sun. It's gorgeous. So when I came to the Brandywine, it was him that I started meeting with, and we drove all around, and we were getting excited about building some sort of sculpture on the land. And then he ended up dying later that year. Part of the reason I chose the Queen Ansley is really an homage to him and the paintings that he did and just the work that he's done in the Brandywine Conservancy. I think my work is best understood and is best when I can relate to the history, the human history and the natural history of a place, because then it becomes not as much about me and what I think, but just my reactions and my thoughts about the world that I'm inhabiting. So I really love that piece of the sculpture where it was about the landscape, it was about the humans that have inhabited and been protecting it, and it was about me as well. And I love part of that also is like the, all of the wood comes from that land that creates the sculpture, and that's important to me as well.
All right, Ian, you are a Virginia-based artist. You were commissioned by the Brandywine River Museum of Art as part of its ongoing sculptural program, inviting artists to explore their responses to the local landscape. And I'll come back to that in a minute. What is your background?
Yeah, I grew up in Denver, right outside of Denver, and spent most of my childhood in this irrigation ditch behind our house called the Highline Canal. It is this beautiful kind of biking trail, but it's an old irrigation ditch back in the days when Colorado had to bring all of its water from the rivers to the farmlands. And so it was just kind of this magical little hideaway. You could kind of, it was like down in a ditch and everything was overgrown in there, and I could really escape in there. So I spent a lot of my childhood in that, and that I kind of credit with my connection to the wild. And so I grew up in Denver, and then I went to high school in Delaware near my grandmother's house in Wilmington. And then I ended up going to the Colorado College and I studied art there. So I did my bachelor's in art at Colorado College. And then after that, I went to Oregon. After college, I ended up going up to Oregon, and I attended Aprovecho Natural Building School. So I learned some of the techniques that I use now in terms of plastering with clay and building with non-straight materials there. It's a really amazing place that teaches permaculture and natural building. And then I found my way to Virginia, which is where I live now, and I'm a high school teacher. I teach art and lots of other things at a really amazing place called Springhouse Community School here in Floyd, Virginia. We're a little micro school. We've got 33 students this year from 7th through 12th grade, and we do some amazing things. And I get to teach them about being in nature and experience building things outside with them. And it's really a great place for me to, reconnect with the wild, reconnect with humanity, and help others do the same.
So it sounds like you grew up, you know, in the Midwest, and then you came to Delaware on the East Coast, and then you went back to college. So what is your favorite outdoor place, if you will? What is your favorite season? Maybe I should ask it that way.
Nice. Well, I'm going to take your question in a little bit of a different way just because I think it's interesting. You know what I love? So I grew up in Denver, and it's epic. You know, anyone who's ever been to Colorado, it's like you come to the Front Range, the mountains are like, you know, 14,000 feet tall. It's gorgeous. There's vistas, there's elk and bears. And it's just like, there's no question whether it's beautiful. It hits you right in the face with its beauty. And I think since I've been living in Virginia, I've really, it's the beauty here and the connection is really much more subtle. It's quieter. It's the mountains are much older, right? So the Appalachian Mountains are some of the oldest mountain ranges in the world. So they've got, you know, it's more rounded. You almost never get like a vista. So it's taken a lot more slowness and like time spent to really feel connected to this landscape and to really recognize this beauty. And I think because of that, it's richer for me. So I really love these Appalachian Mountains that I live in. And I think my favorite season is fall, which luckily it is now. And the leaves are just starting to change here, and it's really gorgeous. But I love the fall just because, I don't know, there's something about slowing down and, I don't know, the coolness and, maybe it's the colors. I don't know, but I love it.
We are talking to Virginia-based artist Ian Stabler about this new exhibit at the Brandywine Conservancy and Museum of Arts on the campus grounds. It's called Queen Anne's Lace Pod. It's made entirely of natural materials gathered and found on site. How long did it take you to put together?
It took about a month and a half. And if you go to it, you'll see that... there's no shade there. And so it was in kind of that heat wave of end of June, early July that I was building it. And it was intense.
I remember really that hot. Heat wave very well,
it
my friend.
So hot. So I'm out there just sweating bullets. I really had to pay attention to my water intake and like electrolytes and all of it. It was just like my whole world revolved around like, am I getting enough liquid inside of me to be out there? Because once I actually built the sculpture, I could hide inside and it was kind of shaded inside. But for that first part, it was pretty intense. So it took about a month and a half to build it.
Ian, what's the takeaway from this exhibit? What do you want people to talk about when they're leaving, after they've yeah. seen it? What do you want them to talk about?
So really what I want is I want people to go and sit and look out the windows and just experience that meadow. Because, again, it's a subtle place. It's a place that takes some time. And sitting there and spending that month and a half, I really realized like how intimate places, the birds moving through and the bees and like all of this interaction, it's very kind of mundane, and in that mundaneness, it's really gorgeous. I also think there's something cool happens when you take something that's small, like a Queen Anne's lace pod, and you make it big, and all of a sudden we start to pay better attention to like this amazing biological architecture that's all around us. The way that these plants have evolved to be beautiful, functional, and relate to their environments in very specific and efficient ways, I think is a real marvel that takes time. It takes energy to really look at it. So my hope is that folks go out and they come back loving the meadow, loving the places and the plants around them, or even just taking a second look at them.
This almost sounds like something a Queen Anne's lace pod should be a permanent installation.
At this point, it's a temporary installation. It's going to be up, I think, until May. And we'll see what happens to it then. But I'm always down to build another one, I guess, if it gets taken down.